Welcome back, Darksiders. This week, we're here for a very solemn subject. One I don't want to summarize with an introduction. Those familiar with EDP-445 won't need one. And those who aren't are going to know soon enough. Some lessons are too heavy to convey with fancy words and somber music. They must be felt to appreciate their weight. So, take a moment to collect yourselves. And when you're ready, we'll dive into what may be our most disturbing case yet. EDP was born Bryant Turhan Emerson Moreland on December 15th, 1990. And the uninitiated are probably wondering what EDP stands for, if not his initials. It means eat dead pussy. The numbers were random, though. Many liked to joke that it was his weight. He was only 19 when he chose it, and his first logo was a Pac-Man eating a cat, which, honestly, is kind of funny. A little weird, but a little bit funny. Unfortunately, there isn't much information out there about the early life of EDP. He was an only child raised by a single mother, and her death in 2015 was a very difficult time for him. Though he was born in L.A., most of his YouTube career would take place while he lived in Bakersfield, California. He created his very first YouTube channel on June 13th of 2010. And though he started with a freestyle rap video, he would go on to prove himself an Eagles football superfan, a gun collector, gamer, and much, much more. But his shameless rants and honest opinions are what facilitated his rise to popularity with the younger crowds. People found him hilarious. He didn't censor his words for anyone or anything. When he spoke, every other word would be fuck or the F word, that other F word. But that would get tedious to repeat in our deep dive, so I'm going to be toning those things down quite a bit. His first time to talk about football wouldn't be until that November, when the Eagles beat the Redskins. But it was the channel's main topic from that point forward. As his audience grew, so did his empire. On September 17, 2012, he started the last type of channel that you'd ever expect, given his regular content. Cooking. He called it Chaotic Kitchen 445, and it's still on YouTube today with 24 videos and just under 12,000 subscribers. It doesn't seem to get much attention, but I definitely thought it was kind of an interesting find. On January 22nd, 2013, he started a gaming channel called EDP Gaming 1, and it's also still available, with 138 videos and almost 80,000 subscribers, though its fate was to also be forgotten. I don't know how else they would have survived the Great Purge. That October, he started a fourth channel with an underscore in his name for vlogging, which actually survived until just a couple months ago in June, but it never saw the traffic of his main channel. Now this guy would go where no one else would. One of his most popular early skits involved him sitting on a toilet and discussing how much he loved Chipotle, but what a terrible price he paid for eating it. He shamelessly ranted in great detail about demolishing his toilet while he was still sitting on it. The audience was shocked, horrified, disgusted, and hooked. I mean, what was this guy gonna do next, you know? Times were changing, though, and 2017 was the first time EDP got in trouble for his content. YouTube only banned him for 2 weeks, but Twitter banned him permanently when his excessive use of hateful slurs finally caught up to him. A few years later, he started EDP-445 2.0 as a sort of backup, but it was shut down the same day as his main channel. In early 2020, EDP finally passed the 1 million milestone, but YouTube refused to send him a play button, stating that the channel didn't meet their eligibility criteria. A few other YouTubers reached out in solidarity, and he had a fan-made button, but never an official one. June of 2020 would be when one of his most well-known videos would emerge. It was titled, Almost Threw Hands with a 13-Year-Old. EDP is wearing a security guard uniform and talking about a horrible shit he had to take, which you'll find is one of his favorite topics. When he finishes, he hears something loud outside, goes to see what's up, and finds some rowdy kids throwing a football around in the front of the store. Worried they'll crack a car's windshield or get run over, EDP asks them to move along nicely, even though he was still dropping F-bombs with every other word. But one of the teens responded with a prominent, quote, "Fuck you, fat ass." While pissed, EDP was maintaining a semblance of control until the boy insulted his mother. So, obviously, the offer was made to, quote, "throw hands," despite the kid's age. But that's when the boy's girlfriend comes out of the store, so they leave. As they go, the teen looks back and says, quote, "You just saved yourself an ass-whooping." At this point, EDP goes into a couple of meltdowns and reiterates the weight difference between the combatants. The entire video is only his ranting to the camera, but the anger a child was able to inspire in him had everybody reacting to it. Little did EDP know, the first of his allegations were only a few months away. Allegations nobody suspected or wanted to believe. Allegations that would be swept aside more times than any other YouTubers, simply because fans were so desperate not to believe them. I know it's been hard to hear about children being preyed on, but just because it's hard to hear does not mean that it isn't happening every single fucking day. The better educated we are on the subject, the greater chance we have of understanding and identifying dangerous situations in our own lives. Because you truly never know who is capable of these things. The first instance wasn't enough for people to believe this lovable, if extremely crude, goofball was capable of harming a child. Around June of 2020, a few people began accusing EDP of sending sexual texts to minors, but they were largely ignored until a guy called Cold Raven came into the picture. He began collecting the accusations and making videos about them, while one of his followers actually created a catfish account to go after the big man himself. And he caught him saying extremely explicit things. There are also screenshots of EDP threatening the decoy not to post his messages. But despite the evidence, most fans wanted to believe he knew it wasn't a minor. Cold Raven would get two response videos. The first one was only EDP calling him a nobody and saying everyone could talk shit over the computer, but no one had the balls to approach him in person. The second one was actually worse. Instead of denying the accusation, he simply ate wings and waved his gun around. Yeah, pretty big and bad, right? Being accused of something so terrible was bad enough, but the way he chose to respond only made things worse. The one that seemed to piss people off the most was a picture of EDP holding a friend's toddler. She wasn't wearing anything above the waist, and he captioned it, quote, "You can run, but you can't hide. Boom, captured you." Disgusting, honestly. He even stopped streaming when a fan called him out in a super chat saying that they were all waiting to hear his side of the story. Other times, he simply called any fan who questioned him a troll and then thanked them for paying his bills. There was also an incident where a teen tried to get his girlfriend, Lucy, a cameo for her birthday, but EDP asked him for nude pictures of her instead. You'll be surprised to learn we do actually know EDP's side on this one in particular. According to him, the guy didn't have a way to pay for it. So EDP tells him, quote, "Man, that's some bullshit, dude. You're gonna have to show some ass or tits or something." And that's when the boyfriend said Lucy was only 15. And then all contact ceased. Supposedly, anyway. I mean, I genuinely do not know, but I am simply giving you both sides. Now, we finally made it to the big one. The one that erases all possible doubt. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about the people who exposed him. It starts with the owner of a now-deleted channel called Predator Poachers, who went by Chet Goldstein. His real name is Alex Rosen. And that is what we will be calling him. Now, most of you probably know about Chris Hansen's To Catch a Predator, and that several people have copied this idea. Predator Poachers was one of them. Now, they pretend to be children on social media in order to catch sick individuals that they then confront in real life. I actually found a Fox 13 Seattle news report saying they exposed a teacher for trying to exchange pictures with a young boy. Despite how much people trash him, including me, or, you know, how well it's deserved, I really don't want to overlook the good he helped bring about. When predators find their way into a position of power over children, like teaching, the possibilities are unspeakable. I'm genuinely grateful that they managed to expose the people that they did. Their first channel had over 100,000 subscribers when it was shut down for policy violations, but they started a new channel for the EDP operation. Of course, it's also YouTube policy that one cannot simply start a new channel after being banned, so the second one didn't make it very long, but it got the exposure videos up long enough for others to spread the word. Oh, and I do want to note that while Predator Poachers is a team of people, this is mostly about Alex. I'll get the smaller issue out of the way first. Many have a problem with how he conducted the interview of EDP, which we'll cover a little more extensively later, but also that he actually delayed the release of the exposure video until he could be certain it was fully monetized. When you're preaching the importance of putting away predators, you probably shouldn't be holding the information hostage for profit. But that is barely the tip of the iceberg. Now, I know this is going to sound bogus, but bear with me, okay? In April of 2021, a YouTuber named Archwizard CJ posted a series of livestream clips accumulated by a Twitter user called Camel Jockey. Yeah, I know. That proved Alex can be quite the bad man himself. I mean, it's made abundantly clear if you listen to him talk for any extended period, but I'm talking about, like, blatant racism and bigotry. Alex uses the N-word and the F-word freely while making racist jokes on multiple streams, and there's a clip of him approaching a random woman in Walmart where he starts making jokes about a little girl locked in his basement, which, honestly, I still don't understand it. Like, why? The look on his face when instructing a decoy how to pose for pictures is extremely nauseating. He tells her to take her shirt off and stick her tongue out, but when she sounds clearly uncomfortable and confused by the request, he explains it's because, quote, predators ask for all kinds of weird stuff. Oh, yeah, they sure do, don't they, Alex? That's probably why he doesn't mind using actual minors for some of the decoy pics. One was a cameraman's cousin, and only 16. He met the other, a 17-year-old boy, while playing Madden on PS4. But I want to discuss the most serious allegation for a second. They said he uses actual nudes of minors when catching predators, and technically, yes, he does, but my problem is how they cut the video clip and stated this. They want to make it sound like he's admitting to multiple children's photos, but this clip is clearly cut to start in the middle of a sentence, which is always, honestly, a pretty big red flag. I mean, it feels like he's referring to a picture of his own, you know, Willie, that he took in high school. Obviously, that's still illegal and wrong as hell, and I mean, I am absolutely not defending him by any means, but that, I'm not gonna try to make it into something even worse, especially when he goes on to show how he sat on the toilet to take the picture across the board. Really disgusting. Not my business. But hey, facts are facts. I'm here to present them. So, now that you know everyone involved, let's talk about the setup. These guys built a relationship with EDP over a 2-month period before arranging to meet in person. And it all started with one simple Instagram message. On February 23rd, 2021, while pretending to be a 14-year-old girl named Sophie, they DM'd a simple compliment, and EDP took it from there. But since they initiated first contact, they have already made an argument for entrapment and hurt the case from a legal standpoint. They just don't know it yet. Before beginning the actual chats, I want to start with a small disclaimer. While these types of schemes typically do expose predators, they are very dangerous and rarely end in convictions. In the vast majority of cases, a DA will actually refuse to become involved when they're too heavily tainted by amateur investigators. Also, there were two women playing the part of the young girl. One actually said she was 13, and that is the age he remembered. But you'll also hear her say 14 as we go through the story. Don't let that throw you off, okay? So keep that in mind. In order to make a believable Instagram, they used an app to make the real girl's face look younger, and it worked pretty well. I mean, from what I understand of the pictures that were seen, it absolutely looks like a 12 to 14-year-old. Nobody could mistake that picture for being that of an adult. EDP was 100% convinced he was speaking with a child from the very first message. They rarely said more than, "Hey, what's up?" in the beginning, aside from a few short yet vulgar chats about guns and food. I think it's fair to say the vast majority of adults wouldn't have spoken to a random child even in that way, but there was nothing overtly inappropriate until the following day when he sent her a picture of his shit. No, I mean actual, like, fecal matter, as in he took a shit, stood up, snapped a picture of what was left in the toilet, and sent it. You know, if this were the story of two adults getting to know each other, you know, it would still be incredibly disturbing. But the fact that he believes that he's talking to a 13-year-old is really off the charts. To make matters worse, it was, like, completely random. I imagine most of you were thinking, what the hell were they talking about that led him to do that? Right? That's what I'm saying. See, well, on the night of February 25th, EDP says, "What's up? What you doing?" Well, Sophie says the typical "nothing much" reply, and all is silent for the next hour. Until suddenly, with no prompt whatsoever, he says, "Dropped a mean-ass shit," with a picture to prove it. I mean, who does that? Who does that? You know, oh my God, just don't forget the real purpose of the conversation. She can't react negatively. So EDP gets the really big laugh that he expected, right? Ew, but still. By the second week of March, they had spoken over the phone a few times and made sure his awareness of her age was confirmed in the chat. She specifically says, "I don't know if I told you, I'm 14. Obviously he knew, but it's very important for the police to get that part in writing. Instead of taking the opportunity to extract himself from the situation, EDP reassures her they're just chatting. With hard evidence he's aware of her age, she exchanges a few more basic pleasantries before casually mentioning she also lives in Bakersfield. Pleased with the revelation, EDP's first response is guessing her high school, which, whether he was just making a conversation or intentionally baiting her, is a common tactic among predators. And they'll say something like, "Let me guess, you go to," or "Let me guess, you live at," and insert the name of a school or neighborhood. They don't expect to get it right, but most of the time, people will fill in the blank themselves when answering. In this case, the girl's information's fake, so it doesn't really matter that she gave him the name of another school. But please be aware of this when you are speaking with strangers. This tactic is not solely used on children. Remember that, and be safe. They eventually moved the chat to text now, where EDP was quickly growing much bolder. And this time, when he asked, "What are you doing?" he responds with, "Just got done beating my shit, LMFAO. Now, to avoid any backpedaling later, Sophie clarifies, "Oh, like jacking off?" And yeah, I mean, he meant exactly that. I'll give him one thing. It was a lot better than a shit pic. I mean, like, not by much, but, you know, it's definitely the lesser evil, especially for those of us unfortunate enough to actually, you know, have researched the topic. Both are disgusting. End of story. When planning a time to chat, EDP mentions he has a stream that night, and Sophie asks if he's going to shout her out, by which he says, you know, "Oh, she's too young to be on the stream," which almost sounds responsible, right? But he only said no to avoid arousing suspicion. Remember, he already had plenty of accusation under his belt. Even a shout-out would have been damning. Not that it mattered, considering how things ended, but, you know, still. Aside from trying to schedule video chats, things stay fairly mundane until mid-March, when Sophie asks EDP what his intentions are. He says he only wants to be friends. But when she asks if he likes her as anything more, he gives a little groan, saying, "Not enough to go to jail over." Though his fear of jail does nothing to end the conversation, and the subject soon transitions to squishy hugs and cuddles. Ugh. Sophie uses the momentum to discuss when or where they might meet, and EDP eventually agrees the park could be a possibility. They would have another video chat shortly after where this idea is discussed again, and afterwards, Sophie returns the chat, asking which park they'd use. This scares EDP enough to make him block her, which erases the chat history. It's actually standard practice for these guys to quickly unblock the children they're chatting up. Their texts get a lot more flirty after this until he finally breaks, saying, "I can't wait to kiss you and give you a quick nibble." Sophie asks if he would want to do more than kiss, and obviously, I mean, he does, but she needs him to say it. She doesn't have to press very hard before he agrees that yes, if she wants to, they can have sex. I'm sure he felt like a great guy when reassuring her they'd never do anything she didn't want to do. God, it's just disgusting. Now, as we move forward, we will see moments of, let's call it, clarity from EDP. He tries to back out of the situation a few times, but the decoy is always able to pull him back in, though admittedly with very little effort. Some people become angered by this, saying that they should have left EDP alone at that point instead of pulling him back in while he is trying to resist these urges. That's fine. I mean, everyone, and I do mean everyone, is entitled to their own opinion, but I would ask you to consider this. Countless young girls speak to their idols this way, and many will push even harder than this decoy. They are kids. They don't know any better or understand what they are actually getting into. It is the adult's job to be responsible, especially if you're a public figure. I would like to think that the vast majority of men wouldn't have taken the conversation this far in the first place. But even if they had, simply leaving her blocked would have ended the situation just fine. So, with that out of the way, EDP then assures Sophie they would take it slow. He would teach her how things work, and when she got comfy, things could move along. He's always the gentlemanly groomer, completely supportive and never pressuring, blah, blah, blah. Ugh. She responds in a positive way, but immediately afterwards, EDP changes his mind, saying, "We can be friends, but I can't do this shit. This is something I have to live with for the rest of my life." Sophie is very understanding, of course, and EDP elaborates his reasons for backing out. He isn't concerned for any moral implications, simply that if anybody were to find out, he would go to jail and lose everything. Regardless, this moment of clarity didn't even last a full day. Their conversations would start innocently enough the next morning, but soon revert back to the previous night's topic. He reiterates how much he likes her, but he's afraid others will find out. Then, after Sophie calls him adorable, he's ready to, quote, teach her again. When asked, "Teach me what?" he confirms what we talked about last night. Sophie says she doesn't want to scare him off again, but he reassures her the previous night was his fault for reacting that way. And then he really goes for it, fully convinced that this is a 13-year-old girl. He asks if she would want to have sex to experience it firsthand. I guess because he's such a nice, innocent guy, he wanted to pretend that's not what the implication was. Like, "Oh, hey, why don't we just..." Fucking come on, man. The next part was almost too much. Sophie continues playing dumb, asking if sex hurts, and so on, and EDP explains they can take things very slow, not do anything she's uncomfortable with, and suggests oral, since he loves doing what his YouTube name suggests. From here, he greatly increases the compliments and promises to be exclusive, blah, 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 but it always leads to how he can't wait to hug and kiss her. Though, Sophie doesn't need to push very hard before he expands on those desires. He said he wanted to lick her from head to toe. Apparently, he loves the toes, too. But he doesn't stop there. Things continue to get more graphic as Sophie pretends to be ignorant about sex and asks for clarification on just about everything. His explanation of why sex hurt the first time was painfully graphic. I wish I could say that that was the worst of it, but it's really not. He constantly reassures her how special she is, how much he cares, how everything is fully under her control. Because that is the kind of stuff that groomers do. For what it's worth, he also mentioned he enjoys role-playing. The first example he gave her was a scenario called Daddy's Little Girl, which honestly, I feel pretty much speaks for itself at this point. By now, it's the end of March, and EDP isn't shy about sharing his feelings anymore. He becomes more sexual as each day passes, and often refers to her as his little baby girl, or princess. Of course, that's nothing compared to when he jokes he wants to climb through her window, kiss her, quote, cute ass passionately, handcuff her, throw her into the back of his car, and take her back to his dungeon. Yeah. Now, I'm sure this was his fantasy, and, you know, everyone loves to pretend he was being literal, but with this guy's overall behavior? No, I don't believe he actually intended to do that at all. I mean, listen, to be clear, I am absolutely not defending the guy. I know he would have done something he construed as consensual, but I also believe that his actions are reprehensible enough that we don't need to stoke the flames with those kinds of cheap shots. We care about the facts, and that is fact. The fact is, it was extremely easy to bait this guy. Think of it this way. It wasn't his first time. He took steps to hide his bad behavior. His actions escalated as he grew more comfortable. And despite suspecting a setup on multiple occasions, he kept coming back. These are classic addict moves. He quite literally cannot help himself. He needs to see a professional for any hope of controlling these urges. But honestly, that doesn't seem like an option he cares to pursue. He sends his first dick pic after telling her that he's jerking off while thinking about their first time, and she asks if she can see. Again, this is something that happens to influencers often. No person in their right mind actually sends such a picture to a minor, asked or not. The decoy asking for this picture does not absolve EDP. The internet is dangerous enough without predatory YouTubers, and as a fellow YouTuber, I mean, I gotta say, these guys are giving us a real shit reputation. From here on, there's no more small talk of guns or movies. It is 100% sexting. Sophie, as we've called her, mostly says, "That's hot," or asks what something means. The decoy never reciprocates anything sexual. But EDP becomes increasingly graphic. There is no line he failed to cross. He even sent her pornographic videos and pictures of his semen. Assuming they have enough evidence, Sophie takes the next "I'd love to see you" comment as an opening to invite him to a swimming pool. But he says he can't go to her or, quote, "silly people will talk." He must have gotten scared again because he doesn't talk for give or take about 3 days. And when he does come back, he said he had gone away to handle some stuff and had a lot on his mind. Wonder what that could have been. To further prove he ran from paranoia, after apologizing, he immediately asked Sophie if she's saving their conversations. I bet that gave the decoy a chuckle. But, obviously, she denied it, and then asked why someone would do such a thing. Of course, EDP can't tell the truth, so he reverts to his default of calling other people dumbasses. It makes him feel better, though, and he goes right back to saying inappropriate things, such as, quote, "I know your body is growing and developing. That's why I agreed to this. I want to be your first, little cute ass." God, this is nauseating to read. Moving into the second week of April, EDP begins introducing Sophie to sex toys. Again, via pictures, probably due to his excitement over learning she lives across town from him. It's common for these predator chasers to use random apartment complexes for safe places to meet because it eliminates any chance of them knocking on someone's front door. I know we spent a lot of time on the chat, and you guys are probably ready to hear about the actual confrontation.
promise.
We're almost there. But in case there's anyone still sympathizing with EDP in this scenario, I'm going to give you a direct quote. He told Sophie it was a secret, and she had to promise not to tell. Quote, I always wanted to get to know someone young and a little cute like yourself. Someone who wasn't afraid to show an interest in me even though our age gap is so big. Do you see what I mean? This could easily have been a real child instead of a decoy. We could be listening to an entirely different story right now. One we have seen all too often play out a million times over. When this took place, he had over 2 million subscribers. There are plenty of women who would have thrown themselves at him for that fact alone. The night before they finally meet, EDP is very clearly nervous. He confirms the mother and grandmother will definitely be gone several times over before changing the conversation back to sex and sending a screenshot of the dirty movie he was watching. They only stop talking when a friend interrupts him in real life. And the next day, he has one last moment of clarity. Those seem to happen after the nights he talks about jerking off. Imagine that. Once again, he's only concerned with going to jail and losing his channel. But don't you worry. Sophie doesn't let him get away that easily. She shows him the chocolate cupcake she spent all morning baking and doesn't want her heart broken. Can't he at least get a cupcake? She finally convinces him to come over after a phone call, but not before he sends one more message. And I think this one you also need to hear word for word. Quote, I don't mean to scare you or anything, but I swear on my life if this shit's a setup or some backdoor troll shit or if the police are waiting, it won't be pretty. So, like I promised you, I'll come. You gotta promise me this shit isn't a damn setup. If something goes wrong here, my ass is on the line. You know the best part? She doesn't respond or even answer right away. She waits. And then says, can't talk right now, Grandma's still here. Just to ensure he doesn't try to back out again. She brings out the big guns and apologizes for getting upset by saying, quote, my dad broke his pinky promises and I thought you had too. I know nothing about this situation is funny, but I mean, I did have to chuckle a little bit at that one, to be honest. Okay, all right. Are you guys ready for the big confrontation? It was 50 minutes long, and I found it on a channel called The Goat Bros. It starts with Alex and a friend confronting EDP at the apartment complex. I never caught the friend's name, but I've come to call him Curly. After Alex asks EDP if he is armed, he admits to the trap right away. We were Sophie the whole time, so if you want this to go well, I suggest you come have a talk. Now, some of you probably think EDP reacted angrily. Maybe he had a gun after all. Maybe he ran for it. Maybe he cried. But he did none of those things. He was friendly, docile, and agreed without hesitation. They walked a short distance where what is probably the worst interview ever begins. And I'm not trying to throw an extra jab at Alex. That is the opinion among the majority who see it, including the YouTubers who have made reaction videos on it, like Penguin Zero. Instead of asking actual journalistic questions, he berates EDP and makes a show of insulting his weight, which has absolutely nothing to do with this situation. The few real questions he does ask are yelled repeatedly throughout the video for shock factor. But the important thing is this. They erased any doubts remaining as to EDP's innocence. Why there was any left after so many previous incidences, I mean, I don't quite understand, but we're just going to focus on the win here. Yeah. After having EDP admit Sophie's age and the fact that their chats involve sexual content, he asks the big question. What brings you out here today? And do you know what Mr. Agreeable said? Still being very friendly and nonchalant, he said he was just coming to get a cupcake. There was nothing sexual about it. Except for the messages, obviously, you know. But it's not like that. Then why did he do it? Why did he start the conversation with a 13-year-old to begin with? Why does he fantasize about being with a younger girl? Because he was lonely, of course. But Curly is quick to point out that a guy with 2 million subs is gonna have an inbox full of girls trying to hit him up. Though, I suppose they weren't young enough to match his fantasy. When EDP stands by his claim for this only being his second incident, he's asked about the previous one, but he simply says it was with a 15-year-old who DM'd him first and blames his celebrity status. Alex lets the subject of the first victim fall to ask if EDP would have spoken to a 12-year-old the same way. But that is where he claims to draw the line. There are predators who have preferred types, and they generally do stay within their age range. But that's not to say that he wouldn't have simply waited for her birthday. Plus, he lies several times throughout the interview. And it's obviously the best answer he can give under the circumstances. So I can't even begin to guess if he's telling the truth there. Considering it's only a minute or two later when he admits to there being 6 incidents instead of 2, I highly doubt the few names he muttered were real. But they briefly discuss a few incidences, and EDP's main defense is that he would never actually flown to where these girls were located. Okay. They also ask if he believes he should go to jail, and though he later changes his answer to no, he does say yes the first time. This leads to another one of Alex's weird rants, but Curly brings us back on track by asking if EDP ever sought therapy for his issues, and when the answer is no, asks why he hasn't. I mean, it's not like he can't afford it, right? Now, until this point, the guys have been careful with their wording when referring to EDP's fate. They would say things like, "When you go home after this," or "If we called the cops," to make him compliant. And it worked. Because each of these statements are reinforcing what EDP has been praying for. That these guys are only trolls looking for 15 minutes of fame. He's hoping if he gives them what they want, he'll be spared the extra footage of being placed in handcuffs. Well, sure, I mean, it seems obvious to us that the police must be the endgame, but our minds can convince us of almost anything when desperate enough. Each time EDP gritted his teeth and answered another allegation, he was focused on the moment that he could get in his car and simply drive away. Of course, EDP can't say much aside from begging them not to involve the police and offering to set up a therapy appointment while they watch. Obviously, none of them work, but he gives it the good old college try. Sadly, there's no argument for the facts of this case. The vast majority of EDP's audience consists of high school students, and that's an extremely dangerous situation. We genuinely have no clue how many girls there really are or how far things actually went. All I do know is that statistically speaking, it's very unlikely he's been caught in every single instance. And if being caught wasn't a strong enough deterrent to sway his impulse before, I doubt this incident was either. In my opinion, he won't be able to quit without professional help. Over 25 minutes into this interrogation, EDP can't take the suspense and asks if his life is over. But Alex and Curly say it's up to him, that he can either crawl in a hole and hide, or he gets help. But I assure you, EDP only heard, "So no, we aren't calling the police." He decides to go for broke and he lays it all out. He understands that they have all the evidence. He understands what he did wrong. And what he wants to do now is go get help. While EDP is being especially compliant, Alex begins asking why he blocked Sophie on multiple occasions throughout their chatting history, but he wouldn't admit why. Well, he was actually in the process of trying to create a feasible answer, but Alex interrupts him to switch topics again. But I'm trying to give you guys a real clear summary here. They switch from EDP's texts to Sophie, to what he thinks would happen to him in prison, and then back again in practically the same sentence. All the while, EDP is still steadily agreeing, still convinced there's a chance that no police will be called. When the "what happens next time" question comes, he swears there's not going to be one. This time was different. This time scared him straight. You know, honestly, I'm a little surprised and kind of disappointed that he didn't, like, try for a pinky promise here. With the pictures EDP sent and the fact that he drove to the apartment specifically to meet with a minor, they figure there are three good charges to call the police about. But Alex becomes sidetracked with his unrelated opinions yet again. After forcing EDP to admit he fantasized about being dominated by a 13-year-old, he clarifies, quote, "Even if she was 18, being dominated by a female, that's weird in itself. Now take that down to middle school, and it's criminally weird." Which, yeah, I mean, no shit. Any sexual act taken down to middle school is fucking criminal. That's why we're here, my guy. Maybe being dominated isn't everybody's cup of tea, but it certainly doesn't qualify as cringe. I feel like a woman must have really kicked his ass at some point. Maybe in his childhood or something, but I mean, that's only a personal guess because honestly, I just really happen to enjoy psychology. One sensible thing they do say amidst repeating the most shocking chats is that EDP should be on the registry. And that is absolutely true. They also try to have him call the cops on himself to explain what he's done and why he's there, but obviously that wasn't going to happen. Alex then dials the police and taunts EDP with the phone, asking repeatedly, "What's stopping me from pressing the green button?" Of course, he has to shout over EDP, who is still begging them not to call, and Curly, who is ranting about the dungeon fantasy. When Alex actually gets on the phone with the police department, EDP begins to walk away, and Curly follows him, still repeating the same questions and telling him how sick he is as Alex trails behind. It becomes apparent the dispatcher is questioning the call's validity, and I think that's when EDP decides he's going to get out of there. In a very calm manner, he brings out his phone, scrolls through it, and begins making a call. My first thought was, he must be calling a friend for a ride or advice, or, you know, maybe he just must want to lay somewhere low. But Curly begins to panic, repeatedly hollering that he's calling a friend. Then Alex, in a more concerned tone, tells the dispatcher, "Please hurry, I think he's calling for backup." I swear to you, there was nothing in this that gave that impression. Alex seems to be transferred to another dispatcher, and this one takes EDP's information. But Alex grows increasingly frustrated when they don't send help fast enough. As EDP approaches his car, they back off, and the video ends with the guys agreeing to give police the evidence at the apartments. So, what happened in the days to come? Was EDP arrested? Unfortunately, he wasn't. But thanks to Sunny V2, I can tell you what came next. A few days later, he privatized all of his uploads and lost 200,000 subscribers over the next week. Not that it mattered, since, you know, YouTube deleted his entire channel on April 27th. The video of his confrontation spreads like wildfire. And there was nowhere to hide. Another OG YouTuber was gone, and EDP was one of the last unfiltered channels who didn't allow ad revenue to dictate content. He'd been making those videos for over 10 years. He's never done really anything else, and then suddenly he's thrown into the real world. You would think he had enough money saved up to buy himself a little time, but it sounds like he ran out fairly quick. The next several months were nothing but a series of karmatic failures. People emailed Cameo by the hundreds, informing them of the allegations. And in less than a week, they banned him as well. He turned to Facebook and Instagram next, but wasn't long before they kicked him out too. Though he may have lasted a little longer on Facebook had he not made a video about Alex Rosen. He calls him out for using racial slurs and having no credibility, but it drew a lot of attention towards his own accusations. Next, he tried to start his own website. But according to a Reddit thread, he had a falling out with his developer. Eventually, people gave up hope when still receiving an error code months after the original launch date. There was also a second YouTube channel called The Notorious EDP, but it too was very short-lived. With that failure under his belt, he pushed forward onto another website that I've never heard of, called ThreeSpeak. But they banned him too. He tried to argue against it, saying he hadn't broken any guidelines and he didn't understand why it happened, but come on, man, like, he knows, we all know. Bruh. So, this is where things get a little interesting in a different way. Normally, this would pretty much be where the story ended, you know? Thus, he disappeared and no one ever heard from him again. But EDP has the problem of being extremely recognizable. He moved all the way to Henderson, Nevada to start over, but, that wasn't gonna be good enough. In October, he found work as a Lyft driver, but was fired when a user called Lennon Jimenez shared his profile on TikTok after a ride. The same scenario happened during a short time at Grubhub and Uber Eats. No matter where he went, somebody seemed to recognize him. There's also a rumor going around that he applied for Chuck E. Cheese. But I have a hard time believing he would be that stupid. I think somebody just appreciated the humor factor, but honestly, I could be wrong, I don't know. On October 21st, he applied to have his name changed to Dion Scott Wilson Eason, but was only met with more ridicule when the name spread across Reddit. Without plastic surgery, he doesn't stand a chance of disappearing. According to Master at Work, someone who had been working to expose EDP since 2020, he had less than $3,300 left, plus any guns or assets that he might be able to sell. In the following months, Reddit users would learn he did eventually sell one of his cars, along with being evicted from his apartment complex. Though, not because he didn't pay the bill. Apparently, they were just receiving too many complaints about him living there. To be fair, they probably did him a favor kicking him out before he spent even more on rent that he couldn't afford. I'm gonna assume he hadn't chosen a cheap place to live, considering the lifestyle that he was accustomed to. From there, he began making the rounds through hotel after hotel, which was probably even more expensive than the apartment, and his haters still tried to find him. They wanted him behind bars. And, short of that, they wanted him as miserable as possible. Maybe some were holding out hope that he'd decide to turn himself in after all. Throughout all of this, several people would make various claims of EDP having been arrested, but each time it would prove to be bogus. On December 3rd, a former friend, Philippe, claimed he received a phone call from a Henderson, Nevada detention facility, and it was on behalf of inmate Bryant Moreland. Taken by surprise, Philippe hangs up, but the number calls right back. And the same scenario plays out. Only this time, he accepts the charges. His only form of evidence is a call log screenshot showing 4 no-caller IDs. But that wouldn't be difficult to make up either. Then there's the fact that this guy used the name Bryant after EDP was believed to have changed his name, and a comment where someone claims to have checked every inmate record in those surrounding counties. But there was nobody by that name. I normally wouldn't take the word of a random comment, but given the other evidence we have and how horribly obsessed people were with this particular topic, I have no doubt more than one person took the time to check the records. And honestly, somebody would have found it. Moving into this year, EDP found his way back onto Instagram just long enough to address Philippe by asking him to pay back the $1,000 bail money he owes instead of spreading lies. While EDP's numbers were nothing compared to what they once were, he gained over 20,000 followers before the account was banned again. What? Surely you didn't expect him to keep it. There was also a TikTok account going viral just after the Super Bowl, but EDP would later hear of this and announce that it wasn't him. This would prompt people to look closer and discover they were actually re-uploads of his old Instagram posts. But seeing how well they did, EDP started a genuine TikTok account. The OGEDP. He made basically the same content as what he did when he was on YouTube, talking about anything you wanted to while saying fuck at least 4 times per sentence. Oh, and his comments are disabled. For, obvious reasons. This is around the time he found a site called Bigo Live, where he could stream videos, but they mostly consisted of people calling in to confront him or trolling the chats. While Bigo didn't seem to ban him, he did stop uploading, which led Redditors to assume that they had deactivated his streaming ability without banning the account. Believe it or not, he did get his website up and running in April. I checked it while researching it. It says you can order custom shoutouts, buy merch, view his live streams, and more. But the menu only has 2 other options besides the homepage, catalog and contact. Fun fact, the catalog is just the homepage without the banner at the top. Since April, there doesn't seem to be anything else to report, but don't you worry. We'll be keeping an eye on the situation, and you can expect an update if anything changes. And that, my friends, is the story of EDP-445. Most of his later YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram videos can be found re-uploaded to YouTube, but the Internet Archive has over 180 hours of his earlier content, if you're interested. Otherwise, it's once again time we emerge from the darkness and return to our normal lives. Or you can just go watch some other twisted shit. You know, that's fine too. I'm not here to judge. Either way, I'll be back next week with something even more heinous. For now, don't do anything I wouldn't do.